But my question, Chair, will be on the fact that we need to protect the whistleblowers, and it is important for us to have a system or a legislation where whoever that has a piece of information, irrespective of where he is or where she is, feel free to do so. As I was going through the original act itself, the very same subsection that is of conflict now has words that says if one goes in good faith. I don't think, I've never done any research on this matter, but I would assume one out of ten will do whatever, will disclose false information intentionally and with evidence, or not with evidence rather, because it will be false, with a particular interest or a wake-up call to that effect, meaning I would have not have facts, but I will know that there is something fishy happening, even if I don't have facts at table, at hands, but something wrong is happening. And out of nowhere, when I raise that thing, whoever that has the resources to block the very same suspicion that I have without evidence will do so at his power or at his disposal to block whatever that I want to say. And doing that also, if I'm a layman from Manamakute, that's one of our villages where I come from. I'm working in a municipality as a cleaner. But often when I clean there, I can hear that something is not right. I don't know anything about the legislation. These are the things that these people are saying. They are managers. They are my managers. But they are dealing with a matter here of a tender illegally. Mind you, I'm a cleaner in that municipality. Then I want to raise this thing. And then my manager, who is a concerned or a progressive manager, will tell me about this. Let's assume this bill now is an act. He will tell me, no, Teboho, you can't disclose that. You don't have evidence, number one. Number two, if you do that, do you know that you are going to be arrested? But it's there. And the end result of what I'm saying, after what I heard, the very particular issue that I had happened exactly like I had it. I don't know if you get my point. We must also find a way of dealing with that. And then, Chair, I don't know, I want to also ask the department, who is actually the custodian of this act? Is it the department itself? Does it have the political buy-in from the ministry itself, or it, because it deals with occupational matters or employees being at the public sector or private, the initiators are from which sector? Is it from the administration side or from political side? I know legislation is politically, but somebody from administration might have pushed, or someone from political by virtue of protecting some other issues that we don't know might also have interest in the amendment. Chair. And then also, I can see that as the government, as the country, we are now moving to be a punitive country. Like our intention is not to correct or to remedy the situation in a manner in which it will be it will assist or it will give us that courage to change our country into a positive way. But what we do now lately, we tend to become more punitive. We are punishing in each and every space that we find where we can make changes. The only changes that we make is to punish. It's not to remedy the situation. And by doing that, I'm afraid that our democracy as a country is going to be compromised in such a way that people will tend to move into other avenues that they will feel that if I do this, I'll be protected in somehow, or my views will be properly addressed. So I think when we want to amend or we want to develop any legislation, we must make sure that our democracy is at the centerpiece. It's there at the center where it will not be compromised. And then lastly, Chair, for now, is that how often, I've been working for Department of Social Development, Arts, Culture and Sports for 5 years, and I moved to the municipality for 10 years. But I'm telling you that there are acts and legislations that concern the very same employees, and the very same employees are not even aware of such. I'm telling you about the experience that I had with the public sector. The only time I was aware of such legislation, it was when I was at the management level. So what is it that the department is doing to make sure that such legislations are well known, even if they cannot be known, but most of the public sectors are aware of them? How often do you interact with your sister departments as a department to make sure that you do your trainings or workshops to the employees down there? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mhapi. Oh, okay, you want to start? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. I know that the noted Honorable Mhapi first before me, but I would appreciate that he speaks after me. Thank you, Chair. Yes, of course, that is protocol. Chair, yes, thank you, ma'am. Chair, let's welcome the presentation. Both, they are the same. I can be heard. I'm audible, yeah? Am I not audible? No, come on, China, man. Am I audible now? Okay, thank you. Thanks, Chair. Chair, I was saying, let's welcome the presentation from the both stakeholders, your democratic, from your both stakeholders, Chair. Chair, my questions will be perhaps one, it's just a classic question, just to be assured of what I'm seeing here. There's a concern raised by COSATU on your presentation, the department. I just want to know, is the concern clearly addressed? I heard you told you did try to unpack on it. I just want to be assured whether is it clearly addressed. The second one, Chair, would be on the presentation, the actual presentation from the Open Democracy Advisory Center. Chair, these are just interesting questions, Chair. Just want to know, on your page 4 in the presentation, international best practice. I just want to be clear, Chair. I can see here that most of these international best practices are, of course, international, but more of the Western, more of your Western-orientated policies. Just an interesting question. Are we in Africa not capable enough? You know why I'm asking this, Chair? It is precisely that as South African, we must start acknowledging ourselves as South African, acknowledge our potential as South African. And when we write policies, legislation should speak to our conditions as South Africans, not as Europeans, but as South Africans. Now, Chair, I just want to know from our colleagues there, in their research, they talk of your intake conducts. Are these intake conducts talking to our conditions in South Africa or the European conduct? Because really, Chair, the more as South African we acknowledge these liberal policies that are important to South Africa as our policies, the more as South African we suffer. So it is very important that when we do our policies, we align our policies. Yes, of course, we must do research, but also align whatever we research to our conditions, to fit our conditions. You'll understand I'm coming from where, when I'm raising this. Now, in terms of Act 26 of 2002, it affirms, it protects the whistleblowers. That the Act itself, I don't want to go into details, you are expectees of the Act. But the Act itself, I don't want to go to the section, but its objective is to protect. Is the protection of any employer, whether in the private sector or public sector, from being subjected to what is called an occupational or detrimentally whatever. So we do have an act that protects. No, we do have an act that protects, although ours was to put spice meaning on it. And I think that is done by the department. Because you are saying a person who is a whistleblower who is intentionally or who is in a good faith, right? But now, it's in terms of what is being presented to us by the department, simply this is clearly addressed in terms of your criminal procedure act and so on. It is addressed that how do we criminalize this type of tendency and how do we protect these people? So in my take, Chair, I will say perhaps it will need us as a committee to further engage on it internally, but in terms of the work done currently, really checking from the acts that we have and the one that they're presenting to us as amendments, I think, Chair, well, we should acknowledge what is presented to us, but again, we need to go into details. I just want to be clear on these policies of which are more of intentional aspect, whether they're not having any policies in Africa. Are they not own again? Why are we always orientating our research into what's your Western Bloc? We don't go to Eastern Bloc. Why? That's my question. Thank you, Chair. This is what we're saying as this government.
Protected.
Thank you, Chair.
Matima, Honorable One.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me say I appreciate the presentation. I've got no particular question, but the experience, before I come to same, the procedures in the Eastern Cape Development Corporation was that when you get to the company, you sign a secrecy form of the company so that you cannot take out anything of the company and take it out. I'm moving from a principal type of import. And secondly, when you look at this issue in terms of international superpower, this thing can wreck the country into pieces. Because when you lie, it's easy people believe the lies. And at the end day, when the country is in tatters, look what happened to Tony in Britain. When he was seconding Bush and Madiba wants to intervene in the issue of Iran. And if you analyze while he was in office, he sees nothing wrong, but he's out of the office. He sees the reality of what's taking place. And lots of love has been. I'm comparing the issues. Because to me, what has been said by the department, we need to control some of the issues that can ravage us as South Africans. That's one. Secondly, we used to learn from the lessons outside. Look what happened in the issue of Syria. Firstly, it was the social media, the SMS, all those faults, and even in Turkey, even in Greece. So, before you introduced to me to the superpower, we had the government before the democracy. We should have been having that information first. What was happening during the era of the apartheid around the issue? So, to me, it's difficult to understand because the presenter is saying they didn't make a research. So how far and true is the research from Australia? If they cannot start at home, if they are South Africans, because there was government before we get in ushering in 1994. What was the current status around the issue? Currently, now there was the issue of this analytics say hashtag Nare what. That thing is designed from the social media. And who is the, in this social media, who's handling us? There's a handler. There's a handler. Even if you put it at anyhow, which is analyzing each and every country, and the country is sound, the handler has got a problem because it doesn't want a sound country. Thank you.
Sorry, Honorable Happy. I think Honorable yourself want to say something.
No, allow Honorable Happy.
I'm not going to give you anything if you want to see. Because I want to give you a chance.
You have recognized other people. We are setting. I think we are engaging with the people.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
So you must allow me a chance again.
That's why I'm giving you a chance.
You can't say you can't give me.
No, I say I'm giving you. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, Honorable Happy. Want to say something?
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, let me welcome the presentation. Also taking into cognizance the important document that is before us. Perhaps one must make an emphasis that many times we develop pieces of legislation, but our communities, particularly to the side of the department, at times they find it hard in terms of understanding the nitty-gritty around the bills themselves. Because indeed at times we embark on public hearings. But if you check the allocated time, at times it's very limited. So my emphasis would be, Chair, that there's a need that continuously we develop an ongoing program to educate our people around these pieces of legislation, especially, Chair, where you'd realize that the bill itself has got far-reaching implications. So it's always advisable that you take that into cognizance. Chair, just to endorse what the department has just said, especially around the gentleman, I forgot the name, my apology for that, where you were suggesting that at times people would be coming to Corruption Watch with good faith only to find out the information that is being finally a product becomes false. I think it's a clear contradiction. Because I'm saying, Chair, the Act itself, as much as it intends to protect the whistleblower, but it has got also serious obligations to also protect also the person whom allegations are made against. Correctly said by the department that many at times false information can do serious harm to our people. There are many people who happen to be victims of such circumstances. And if you check, we are now living in South Africa where the environment that we find ourselves in, it is so polluted to an extent that at times things that are being sent out there are deliberately misleading. And I think it's for us as government that we ensure that we really curb such tendencies. So to me, honestly speaking, there's nothing like a good faith. Then at the end of the day, you only discover later that the information has got a serious implication. In fact, if I had the power, Chair, I would really try to establish where I approach Corruption Watch, knowing very well that I'm misleading the whoever that might be affected because of my false information. Then the third Corruption Watch, for example, perpetuate it further without even verifying. What are the consequences for the said Corruption Watch? Because many times they can't be a referee and a player. You know, so I'm just asking myself, a person who approaches them, should it be discovered that I have really made false information? Will consequences be faced by only myself or even the carrier who ensure that you also spread such information? I'm saying it from the background that we know at some stage, because South Africa is part of the globe currently. We heard where America said in Iraq there's an allegation of weapons of mass destruction. To date, we are still seated here. We have never seen them, and we are quiet. So I'm saying, behind that background, you should always be cautious that we don't create similar situations in our country. We are dealing from time to time, Chairperson, with pieces of legislation that has to do with terrorism. And at times, there might be allegations that might be so serious to an extent that our communities can react. Damage that might be caused, Chairperson, might be more alarming. So I'm just saying it that I fully concur with the department that with regard to the issue of intentional and malicious conduct, really I'm glad that they've tightened it, not so only to be one-sided, but they are also saying even if it causes harm to a person, there must be consequence. Chair, I'm saying also this thing. Looking also that many times you only look at the public sector and think this is where all things are happening. Go to the public sector. It's worse. And I'm glad that this provision would also cater for such incident. I'm glad that it has tightened up, especially for false information. Why am I saying I'm glad, Chairperson? Luckily, I'm working with local municipalities. And if there's any sphere in our country which has been seen as a corrupt sphere, many a times it's local government, the municipality.
You would find that this piece of legislation would also enhance the role of the MECs for COCTA, particularly as and when they enforce the provision of Section 106 of the Municipal Systems Act, which says immediately the MEC has got a reason to believe that there's either maladministration, corruption, or anything that would be bad at the level of the municipality, she must institute investigations. And I'm saying, Chairperson, any investigations has got serious implications. It can be there administrative implications, it can be financial implications, because when you go out and investigate, there's money involved. So I'm saying there's time involved. I'm saying this provision of the 9B in particular, it will help us to curb situations where money is directed to false information, where people deliberately mislead for the simple reason that people hate each other or for political reasons. So I'm saying I'm really glad, because it will also help us to ensure that at the level of the local municipality, as and when there's institution of investigations, at least the person who reports any form of an allegation would be a person that knows that I must always report the truth. And I'm glad that the manner in which the department has handled this matter, it's really convincing that definitely it has been more conscious of protecting both the person that would be making an allegation and the person that an allegation can be made against maliciously or otherwise. Anyhow, Chairperson, this bill is not for the first time that we interact with it. And I'm glad so far there's progress in terms of us coming to the finality of it. Thanks very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Mahildas.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think we're missing one small but very important point. And that is, if I read the bill correctly, that false disclosures are not protected disclosures in terms of the Act. Does that not open enough avenues for you to deal with malicious disclosures? Is it really necessary to then go as far as including a section that criminalizes it? I mean, in the first place, you have to, just see over here, it has to be in good faith that you make this disclosure. So the moment there's a false disclosure that is in bad faith, it's not a protected disclosure anymore. That opens enough avenues for you to actually take recourse against someone who maliciously goes ahead and does it. It's not necessary for you to criminalize it as well. What you're doing by taking it a step further and criminalizing it is that you're actually scaring off those guys that would ordinarily have taken this bill as something that is a shield for disclosing information. So I would just like a reply from the department to that statement as to, is this not enough that you already say that false disclosures in terms of the Act is not a protected disclosure? Just an answer from the department in that regard, please.
And the second round, the department is going to respond.
No, I need the one from the one to before the Okay. No, thanks, Chair, for giving me a chance before the response. What I actually wanted to say, part of it is covered by Honorable Michalikas, and then I just want to know that. Well, I know
we as politicians, we must not treat issues differently. We don't have to be like chameleons where we change colors and we change faces. If it suits us to go with the West, we go with the West. If it doesn't suit us to go with the West, we see it as a bad thing. History has taught us, and especially the party that is in control of this country, most of its leaders were groomed by the West. That's why even other issues are unable to be addressed, because we are stuck in a system of the West. It's a fact. Secondly, Chair,
there's a point of order.
Chairperson, I think this honourable member is totally out of order. We are not dealing with a person here by the name of the ruling party. We are dealing with the bill. And I'm saying, can we ensure that we subject ourselves to the bill before us and not make frivolous suspicions on the ANC?
Your point of order is sustained, honourable. Let's deal with the...
I'm dealing with the bill with the reference of the Western countries. There is an issue that was raised by the Western countries, a research that was made from the Western countries.
You have made a whole inch, yes. And I expect the honourable member to respect
it. Honourable member, Caron, about the bill, please. Let's forget about
but you are closing me out, Chair. The reference that I'm making is from the very same presentation that is before us.
But
that reference was made by the presenters.
But honourable member,
that presentation was dealing with the research from the Western countries. It's a fact. It's a thing on our table. We cannot.
On a point of
But you didn't stop him when he was making that assumption. Why are you stopping me? Because I differ with his presentation. No, it's wrong.
Okay.
I will sustain it, but the facts will remain the facts.
Okay.
I will sustain it, but
okay.
The facts will remain facts.
Okay.
That most of the ANC leadership are moved from the Western
There's no need of
undermining
any other political party.
They are the worst because they are from Britain.
The
leading party that is referring to was never groomed in the Western bloc.
I'm not going to enter into that debate, but you know Oliver Tambo stayed in
the Honourable member,
for a very long time.
Caron,
you know that.
He was not a puppet.
Okay.
You know that.
Caron,
I don't have to go into that.
Continue.
He was not a puppet of the imperial.
Continue,
Honourable
member.
He was. That's why you are even unable to deal with the matter
on
the table. That is why you are unable to deal with the matter. You want to be protected as the leading party.
You
make legislation to protect you. It's wrong, Moab.
It's
very wrong. You cannot deal with the matter because it affects you personally. It's wrong. It's wrong. You are here for the interest of South Africans, not yourself.
I'm saying
because this thing affects you, you want it to be changed to where you want it. It's wrong.
It's wrong.
Facts will remain facts.
Can you continue, please?
It's wrong. I'm telling you now.
With your
But it's wrong what you are doing. Don't deal with the facts before because they affect you personally. You must think about South Africans that cannot deal here and speak for themselves. We are here on the for the interest of the South Africans, not individuals. We have
the
privilege to be here. There are people that are dying that we need to
behave this way.
Order.
You are tolerating this lady.
I'm not tolerating.
No, you are, Chairperson. She has been unruly from the beginning.
I'm a member of this committee and I have the right
to speak.
You cannot be personal towards me. You can't be personal towards me. I have the right as a member of this committee to raise my issues. The very same issue that I'm raising was raised before. I'm not going to be intimidated by you either. I have the right to speak.
Frivolous, short-sighted.
It's not short-sighted. It's fine if it's short-sighted because it doesn't favor you. It will be short-sighted because it doesn't favor you.
Order, honorable member. Order, please. Do you want to carry on with your...
Yes, please.
Do it.
I'm not going to be intimidated by you, whether you are 10 or 20.
I said...
My other question to the department is that... What is your interaction, especially with the Chapter 9 institution, in dealing with this matter? And I don't know what is the difference. How do we going to handle it now? Are we referring to the occupation or the disclosure in total? Are we referring to I don't know whether I've put English properly, to the employer and employee, or we are debating this matter as general as it is disclosure in general, because the way I'm seeing it here, it's more of employees and employer, and also your introduction to the matter, it deals with employees and employer. What is that the Chapter 9 are handled or are interacted in as so far as the legislation is concerned. Thank you very much.
Honorable wonderful, eh?
No, thanks, Chair. No, it's very disturbing that we, as honorable members, we had to go and in front of our stakeholders present here and conduct ourselves. We have our platform as our own to be able to interact with our services to that. I think this is a very important deal in front of us.
Point of order, Chair.
I'm
point of order. I think...
What is your point of order?
I think, Chair, I don't want to do khora in this committee. I might be one, but I must be respected as a member
of
this committee.
Of order.
I must be respected as a member of this. You cannot allow members
of
this committee to